that's
if we have the support of the community, if we have numbers. So it's really important that you are all here with us today. We need these schools, and we need them for the future of our children in this community. A lot of people in this town are educators, and they're really amazing educators, so I want to give props to all the teachers in the crowd as well. And the parents who are out here, you know, you guys are the face and the lead of this struggle. You guys are the ones raising the children. So I really want to thank you for that. All right. So, first us, we're going to have a after-school t-shirt from Lucia Elementary.
Lucia is one of
the five schools that's closing. So she's
going
to talk a little bit about that.
I'm thinking about positions we have.
Baptist in Montrose School.
Please!
It's the public schools and on the general denial of funds and the general downsizing of education and other services here. So first of all, let's look at charter schools. Overall, charter schools used to campaign to get standardized test results so they could show they were superior to public schools. Those results have been out several times. It turns out, not only are they not, but overall, they don't even do as well as public schools. There was a study funded by the Walton family of Walmart, the biggest charter school supporters, a study at Stanford, which was aimed to show the charter schools better. That was 2 years ago, the Credo Center at Stanford. When the study came out, it showed public schools do better than charter schools. So that study is not getting the kind of publicity that it should, and the real truth about what it found is not being spun correctly. Secondly, what we've seen overall is a downsizing and a privatization and a fragmentation of public education. When you get more charter schools, what happens is you have fewer students in public schools, fewer public school teachers, weaker public school teacher unions, and overall a race to the bottom. That's happening in Oakland, which has by far the highest percentage of charter schools of any urban school district in California. When the state of California took over the school district in 2003, there were 2,000 charter schools. Now there are 8,000. There were 54,000 students in public schools. Now there are 36,000. You can see what the trend is. If it continues in this way, then we're going to find that this is going to be a totally privatized district. No public schools. That's what it has virtually happened in New Orleans, what's happening in Detroit, now it's happening in Philadelphia with a 40% public schools this year, it's now 40% charter schools. They're opening several new charter schools, closing down public schools here will be more than 20% next year. What happened? Is weakness, what happens is fragmentation. What happens in situations like Brazil, where parents can stay together and try to stay together, have to say, what's the smallest defeat we can have? Because really, they had a fight in order to get a charter school, but the fact is that by getting a charter school, in the education to change, education management organization, which is what's running it, it means the district is going to be attacking them every year. Every year, and every month of the year, they're going to have to fight just to keep their head above water. And eventually, it's going to be harder for everybody. We have to fight to see that others are not in that position. We have to all fight together. Because if we all fought together, they wouldn't have had to settle for a charter school. We have to understand that. Secondly, we have to ask, why are they doing this downsizing? Why are they doing this privatizing? Why are they pushing back on schools, on pensions, on health care? Well, remember, they got bailed out, we got sold out. The banks got a bailout globally of $20 trillion or more. Where did that money come from? Who recapitalized the banks? We did. That's what austerity is all about. That's what the fight in Greece today is about, where you have wages being cut 40% to 60% and similar with unemployment. They are going, and once more, they are now saying, we're going after you again. We have to recapitalize the poor banks again. Where's that going to come from? That's going to come from us if they have their way. There's going to be more school cuts, more cuts to health care, more cuts to wages, more unemployment, more austerity. We have to say no. No more. No more bailouts for the banks. And then foreclosures. Don't bail out the banks. There are trillions of dollars that could be coming our way. That's a real solution. Tony Smith in this district is the face of privatization. He's the smiling, happy face of privatization. He says we have no alternative but to execute these cuts. He executes them and thus becomes the executioner of public education. Downsizing, privatizing, closing schools, all the while saying, I'm your friend. I'm your best friend. Carrying out the same program they're doing in Philadelphia, in Kansas City, New Orleans, in Detroit, Chicago, New York, Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, around the country, downsizing, privatizing, closing schools, weakening unions, union busting, privatizing. and is all in order to recapitalize the banks and try to bail finance capital, international capitalism out of its global crisis. We have to say no more to that. We have to fight together, parents and community united together to turn this situation around. We have to say no more Tony Smith and no more rotten school board members who vote for school closure. Yes. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of Tony Smith.
And then we're going to have to move down there because the mic will not reach. So what I'm going to ask when we do move down there is that people come up on the stairs and the speakers come down there. All right. So I have a community member here who would like to speak. His name is Charles. And so what we're doing right now is that we are having some speakers that we planned, and then some people from the community speak that were that just kind of improv to really hear the community voice. So I think you can actually speak. Okay, all right, so go for it.
How you all doing today? I just want to come say a few things based on my own experience.
Hello?
Yeah.
Everybody hear me?
So yeah, like I was saying, it was a real traumatic experience because they taking all of the kids' financial aid money, but the teachers are not able to come to the classrooms and finish so we can finish our degree. So they told me I had to transfer to Chico State. I was unable to do that. So what I did was I went on my own experience to learn my own knowledge. And everything is a blessing. Nothing happens on this planet without reason. And when I went and did that, it taught me more about the system that we're living in. And I was able to, I'm gonna say, spiritually detach myself from that system. We gotta understand there's certain things we can't control. And there's certain things that, I wanna say, the highest energy doesn't want us to worry about. Each person has to understand knowledge of thyself to understand exactly how beautiful you are. And with that, each one, reach one, that's how you teach one. If we use the knowledge that we have to help each other out and turn our backs on the system that's holding us down, there's no way for the system to flourish. You gotta understand, in a system that will take your money, student loans is the only loan you gotta pay back. It doesn't matter if you're in jail, you go to the army, you gotta pay that back. It's a scam. Education is a scam, it's training, and anybody will tell you that. But the real education, the real knowledge comes from us, through experience. There's no truth like experience. And we gotta understand this is that living in Oakland, living in California, when Jerry Brown stepped in office, the first thing he did was he took a billion out of the education system. So you gotta understand that the mind state behind someone who's willing to cut the future. Everything is a process. But we are all people. Who governs the government but people? Who are the people in the society but people? Community is made up of people. You deal with the root poor, don't deal with the English words and the terminologies. We deal with each other. When we deal with each other, that's how you push the energy forward. Each person has to understand there are certain laws of the cosmos that even they can't work outside of. You know what I mean? That's what we have to do. We have to learn knowledge of ourselves. My situation, I'm not bitter about, because I believe, out of the darkness comes the light. So certain things that have happened to us in which, you know, God will test us to bring certain things out of us. You know, how can you love, how can you know what heaven feels like if you've never experienced hell? You see what I'm saying? It's a situation that we're in that's bringing us together. You know what I mean? It's bringing knowledge of thyself. And if we all come together, and I'm gonna put myself out on a limb, and I'm gonna come and try to help in the summer and teach some of the kids, you know, teach them about knowledge of thyself, teach them how beautiful they are, that they represent the future, and understand that we can keep the government out of our reality. God gave us everything we need to make it from Monday to the weekend. You know what I mean? That day, all they try to do is try to take things from us, yet we still here. You know what I mean? So I say it like this: empower yourself, empower the people around you. Keep money out of the question. You know what I mean? It's all about love. It's all about God. Everything that you do on this plane gets seen by a higher source. Nothing goes in vain. Nothing. And so we understand that we are on this plane not to worry about the government that governs our mental and governs over the society, but to deal with the society itself. There ain't no more power. There's no more power that sits in the people. There's no power that the government has. It's all an illusion. Even Egypt failed. One of the greatest societies known to mankind. That system will fall because it has no love in it. Anything that has love has the highest energy known to man. If a man and a woman love each other, they can procreate and make a baby, right? If they hate each other, nothing's off of procreating. You gotta understand, we gotta just love each other and keep pushing this positive energy. I love it. But we gotta understand that we need to put the government out of our reality. They, you know, what they doing, they make their money when we pay them our money. We stop paying them their money, there's nothing they're gonna be able to do. Okay? So that's my love. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna do my part. I'm trying to help them out this summer. And, you know, practice what I preach. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So next up, we have Nick.
Y'all, how y'all doing? It's beautiful to see so many people out here on a hot, sunny 85 degree day when y'all could be sitting, you know, going surfing or something like that, or chilling at the beach. But in fact, y'all come out for the things that really matter, which is school. So thank you for that time. Let's be clear about something though. The attacks on this school are because there is an attack across this country and really across this globe on working people. It's the reality that these schools, that there is enough money in this system. As you heard from Jack and from this Charles right here, they gave $18 trillion to the banks, spent trillions of dollars on the war, and you can't find $2 million to keep a school open. Just think about it. It makes no sense. In fact, they did find $1 million just recently, but they found $1 million to build portables at the school that they're gonna move these students into. So right there, half of the savings, so-called savings of this district, were spent to reopen portables, and close down a school. That is messed up priorities. It's often said it's not a crisis of finance, it's a crisis of priorities. That is a reality here. You know what they're replacing these kids with in this school? Does anybody know? Administrative offices. We're gonna kick out neighborhood kids from any neighborhood school and put in administrators? And let's be real, like, I mean, they're gonna make offices out of this? No, they're probably gonna put some stores in there soon enough, you know? Because if you look across the state, all these districts are selling their schools for finances. I mean, it's real. Oakland is starved of finances. This is a reality, and we need finances. We need them from the banks, we need them from the wars. But in this moment, there are choices this district could make to change the situation. In this moment, there is no reason they need to close these schools, and we need to be angry as hell about that, that they're gonna close our school. There is no reason. So let's talk about this. You might hear this a few times, but there's this thing called the state debt. So in 2003, this school district was taken over by the state, because they claimed that we spent a little too much money on our kids, right? So we were $37 million in debt. Well, in about 6 years of under state control, the state jacked up that debt 3 times. Their excuse, again, was for taking over this school district was to bring down the debt. They tripled the debt. And so when the district left in 2009, they left us with a $110 million bill for it. Every year we spend $8 million on that. That's four times the money we would save to keep these schools open. So that's why we're talking to Tony Smith to say that he needs to refuse to pay the state debt right now. Because let's forget that excuse that there's no money. There is the money. You got money for portables? You got money for state debt that we didn't even start, but you don't have money for our own kids? No, that's ridiculous. So the next time you see the students walking around, see your kids, see your students, make sure you remember that there is no reason these kids should not have schools. Okay? And that's why we call out with this demand that Tony Smith needs to either reopen or resign. 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 Reopen or resign.
Reopen or resign.
Reopen or resign. Alright. Thank you. Okay. Next up, we have Marianne.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming out. My name is Marianne. I live in North Oakland. The school in my neighborhood is Santa Fe, and I've been volunteering there in Miss Williams' kindergarten class. Santa Fe, as you know, is one of the five Oakland schools that Tony Smith told the school board we need to close this year. And, you know, Tony Smith, he talks about like full-service community schools all the time, and Santa Fe truly was a neighborhood school. 65 of our parents walked their kids to school every day. So it was a natural meeting place. It was a place where parents and teachers and community members and students could all kind of mingle and hang out together. And by closing the school, he's taking that away. He's severing those relationships. And he's sending children to school far away from the neighborhood where they live, making parents take more, parents who already work really hard, by the way, taking more time to transport their children to and from school. So they have less time to socialize with each other and form those bonds that have made our neighborhood so safe and so beautiful and so organized for so long. Santa Fe was open since 1958. It served three generations of North Oakland neighborhoods. The kindergartners in my class were looking forward to having the same fourth and fifth grade teachers that their older brothers and sisters had, that their parents had, and Tony Smith is destroying those relationships by closing the school. As yet, there is no safe transportation plan for these children. They're expected to take buses to make complex crosstown journeys alone, 6- and 7-year-old children. Some of them are going 45 minutes, 60 minutes, an hour and a half to get to their new school. It's not okay. This is why we demand that Tony Smith provide immediately a safe transportation plan for these children to get to their reassigned schools. Thank you.
Okay, so like I said about the teachers, how important they are, a lot of the teachers that have been working at these schools have had a really hard time since the school, it was announced that they were going to be closed. A lot of the teachers that didn't have tenure lost their jobs. A lot of people who didn't have good relationships with the district have had a lot of problems finding another job. So this is a real problem. This is about students, this is about teachers, this is about families, this is about the community. So you gotta think about all those different aspects. So here's Miss Chin, she's a teacher at Lakeview.
My name is Pam Chin Scoffrin, and I've been teaching here for 25 years. And I'm glad to see Miss Spearman here. She may not like what I'm about to say, but she's always been a team player. This is straight from the legislative file from Tony Smith. From Tony Smith to the Board of Education. There's irony in this statement, so I want you to listen very carefully. In keeping with the Oakland Unified School District's commitment to the improvement and development of its K-12 facilities, the district has embarked on a groundbreaking plan to create a district-wide modernization of the district's schools. Among the key purposes of the district's facilities master plan is to provide an academic environment for the Oakland community that will give every student, educator, and community member using our facilities the best possible opportunity for learning. Through implementation of the facilities master plan, the district intends to improve the district's facilities in terms of structural integrity, safety, reliability of operating mechanical systems, access to modern resources, number and type of appropriate laboratories and specialized instruction rooms, opportunities for physical education and attractiveness such that the Oakland Public Schools are second to none. Operation of the district schools under the planned approach is intended to ensure safety, cleanliness, and orderliness for all individuals participating in the learning process. Now, this document goes on to say that authorizing and approving the new project budget, key code, and project number for the Burkhalter Elementary School portable installation project in the amount of $1,030,000. So if they're trying to save money, if they say they're going to save $2 million closing five schools, yet they're going to spend $1 million or up to $1 million to install eight portables on the Burkhalter campus. If you've ever seen the Burkhalter campus, the yard is very small, and I've got a little map here that shows how much space those portables are going to take up. So they're going to close this school, this wonderful historic building. They're going to take the bulk of the students that are now going to go to Burkhalter, they're merging Burkhalter and Lakeview, and put them into portables. And this is part of Tony Smith's master plan. Doesn't make any sense. The irony is incredible. And I'm glad I don't have just 2 minutes. And if Ms. Spearman would like to speak to that, we welcome it.
So I don't know if Ms. Spearman would like to speak now or later or... Later? Okay, thank you. All right, so we have a few demands from the district that we've come up with, and a lot of the people that are speaking today are speaking on those demands. Those demands are, we demand that OUSD Superintendent Tony Smith immediately halt his plans to close our schools.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo. Okay, another demand is repudiate the state debt, which means that we want the school district to not pay back the state debt.
Yeah!
Okay, that is... $6 million a year, every year, that the school district is paying to the state. We shouldn't have to pay that. The state left us with that debt. We should not have to pay that debt at all, ever. Our kids should not have to pay for the state's mistakes.
That's right.
They should not. They're children.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a couple more demands, but I want to go on with the speakers list, and then we'll talk about more of the demands. Next up, we're going to have Peter.
Hey, thanks. My name's Peter. I teach over at Laney College. I teach a subject called machine technology. Yeah, let me hear that. Let's get some Laney energy. Laney! All right. Okay. First, I want to tell you that I'm very proud to be a public educator. We work our butts off. And any public educator I know works their butt off to do what we do. I'm also very proud to be a parent of children who went through the Oakland Public Schools. My daughters both tell me of their pride at having gone to Sequoia and Bret Harte and Skyline, and they tell me not only did they get a decent education, which they had to fight for, but they know how to get along with anybody. They were in there with every kind of folk in the world, not some little isolated school, okay? They were in there with all kinds of folk, and they're really proud of that. Second, I'm really proud that my mom went to Lakeview when her family lived here in 1920. She went to this school, so I'm very proud of that. I'm also proud to have taught at Lakeview. I taught a little program called Levers and Pulleys and Dance that we brought in here for about 6 years. Kids loved it. But and Lakeview, when I taught here, was always a really good high-energy school. The teachers had energy, the principal had energy, the kids had energy. Good school. So that brings up the question, why are they going to close down Lakeview and these other schools? And I get that kind of question all the time from my fellow teachers at Laney, from students. Why is this happening? Why are they strangling our community colleges? Why are they closing students out? Why are they knocking students out of CSU? Why are they knocking students out of Cal? What sense does it make educationally? And this is what I'm going to talk with you about. We will be paralyzed if we think this is about education. We will be paralyzed if we think this is about saving money. It is not about either of those. This is about making money. This is about turning education and everything public over to private corporations for their profit, their power, and their class privilege. Now, it would be easy to think that that's just a bunch of brash rhetoric, a bunch of hyperbole. What test can we apply to decide whether this is really just an accident of a bad budget year or a strategy? Well, one, if it's about education, then they would have stopped pushing these charters when Diane Ravitch came out and said, no, I no longer support charters because they don't educate as well as public schools. She proved that. And many educators like Jack Gerson have proven that. They would have stopped. They would have stopped when they realized that private for-profit universities like Kaplan and Felix are turning out cheap shit degrees that don't serve anybody. Even the industries that they're supposed to serve don't respect those degrees and certificates. They would have stopped, but no, they're pushing the charters, they're pushing the private schools. What if it's really about money? Is it about saving money? Do charter schools and for-profit universities save money for our government? No. Our government is putting just as much money into the for-profit universities, more through Pell Grants and student loans, and they're sinking it in there more and more, and the students are defaulting more and more, and the government is on the hook to pay those loans. So is it saving our government money? No. Is it saving our government money when they knock down the millionaires tax that I helped work on that would have taxed millionaires and forced us to accept a compromise that involves shared sacrifice, a sales tax on you? No, it's not saving the money. And wait a minute, what about this compromise? Just as if it was really about saving money, if it was really about budget problems, would they have waited until two weeks after the compromise got on the ballot and then suddenly discovered, oh, we have a new deficit that coincidentally exactly equals the amount of money we would have saved with the millionaire's tax? So millionaire's tax comes in, the deficit goes up, the money goes out. We will not save ourselves by worrying about getting this little pocket of money or that little pocket of money. So, no, by these tests, we can see this is not an accident. This is not about the budget. It's not about economic shortfalls. It is a strategy. It's a national strategy. And we have to teach that. Every one of you here is now a teacher. I declare you a teacher. We need you to be a teacher. Go out and be prepared to say this and stand up for it. This is a national strategy to privatize education, to turn it over to profit. What can we do to fight that? First, fight what you're fighting here. This is glorious. I'm so proud to be part of this.
Yes.
Don't give up, even if we're defeated here. We will suffer many defeats before we have real victory. This is one fight in a war. 2 seconds. Two, the connections that we are making between teachers and community colleges and teachers in K-12 schools and parents and children are really the most important thing we can get out of it. Three, finally, we need each other. We need each other.
Yeah,
help each other. Care about each other. Build trust by making agreements and keeping agreements. Thanks.
That we're all teachers. I've gotten a lot of responses while flying for this event that people say, oh, I don't live in Oakland. Oh, I don't have kids. Oh, I'm like, no, stop. Listen, this is about all of us. Really? We all have been to school. We all may have children in the future. We're all related to someone in this world. We all deserve an education. So
It is about each one of us. It doesn't matter what position you're in society. Education affects all of us. Every day you're walking down the street, if there are people in jail, you get locked up. That also has to do with what resources you were given, right? That also has to do with how much money the state is putting into incarceration and into building prisons. They're building prisons more and more in California every day, and they're closing down schools. They're putting more police officers into our schools. Next year, I don't know if anyone has seen the plan, the new city plan, about putting more police officers into schools, right? You guys all know who Raheem Brown is. He was shot by a police officer outside of a dance. He was 18 years old. So we need to get these cops out of our schools, and we need to educate our children rather than incarcerate our children. Okay? All right. So next up, we have Gerald. All right.
Yeah, first, a point on determination. You have to have some sense. What does the ruling class do to us when it rules? People think, and you know, a lot of romanticizing and confusion. How does the ruling class rule? Well, first of all, we know they rule by farce, by lies, etc., right? And then when that doesn't work, then they go get the guys in those funny suits with the mask, you know, the force. But they don't need to use the force when they got, as Biko once made this point, the most powerful weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And let me tell you, they got us right now. Because we ain't got sense enough to come out and support our own schools that our own children have to go to. Let's be clear about this. I'm glad you're all here. Thank you very much for coming. This is not enough to turn the situation around. The situation can be turned around, though.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to hear, they told all the parents, it's over. We've done this, we've done that, we decided that, it's over. And, unfortunately, the parents bought it. Let me give you proof right now that it's not over. Today's paper, the Oakland Tribune, we were in here last night, occupied, and the Oakland Tribune threw in a little fact. They said, by the way, they've changed the policy on Lazier. Lazier's going to now be a, charter school. It's going to stay open, right? Well, look, just understand this and think. Learn to think. They said it was over. They made their decision. They're done. Forget about it. Then, put a little pressure to them. Oh, okay. Well, y'all can have a charter. No, it's not up to them to tell us what we can have. Let's get it straight here. But here's the point. It's not over. It's never over. You never give up. On something like education, stop and think about this. What does it really mean to throw your hands up and walk away here? This system is dying. We gotta stop playing games here. These fools done concocted silly games with their finances, and they done messed the money up real bad. It's no recovery from that. You can't print $16 trillion and then say that that's money with no gold backing, nothing. Come on, y'all. I mean, let's be mature about this. American capitalism is in serious trouble. They are dying. And their ghost is trying to kill us. Well, I'm not ready to go. Thank you. Okay? If American capitalism is in trouble, let them perish, you know? But we will also perish if we don't understand the dynamic and understand that we have to create our own leadership, that we have our own needs, and those needs are expressed in a political program. Now, right now, we're talking about what? Education. So we say, surprise, surprise, they should fully fund quality education for everyone. Why would we say something silly and childish like that? Isn't that obvious? No, it's not obvious. See, because I used to work for the school district. I tell you, their schools in Oakland are not so bad. And this was one of them. That's why I'm so baffled here. This was one of them. People were learning here. People were learning at Santa Fe. And they shut it down. Well, then why do they want to privatize the school? You see, they don't shift everything, all of the enterprise. They don't want to pay you, an American worker, $20 an hour to do whatever, have a pension. No, they want to ship those jobs overseas. Well, they can't ship your badass kids overseas. So they figure, well, you know what? We want some of that money too. We want everybody's money. And here you get the so-called, they're so dishonest, they can't say what it is. How do they rule? By farce. The corporate educational reform movement, an oxymoron by its very basis. A corporate educational reform movement. So in other words, they want to reform the schools so it's good for them. And what does that mean? That means privatization, friends. And that has to be stopped at all costs. And they're putting it as a salami tactic. They do a little bit at a time. They see if you're dumb enough to let them do it. And they do a little bit more. They're watching you. A little bit more. Oh, they sleep. Hell, let's get busy. And they have. They have shut down over 30 schools. 30 schools in Oakland. There is no longer a school in Oakland, an elementary school west of Shattuck. Think about that a minute. West of Shattuck Avenue, if you live here. Or think about it. Those of you who know where Shattuck Avenue is, you see how that's a lot of territory. They've done a lot of territory, and they intend to do some more. They intend to do some more. So let me just leave you with this, all right? Because we got to hurry up. She's about to jump on me, y'all. Look at look, the consciousness in America is so low, they say you have the right to screw over yourself. And I think this is the best example here. This shows you how low our consciousness is as a people, as American workers. So we have to change. And if we don't change, we can't have the... We had 3,000 people out here November 17th. What happened? We can do it again. We will do it again. We must do it again. All right, but look. Now, in the state of New York, they've been criticizing fracking because it ruins the water. You got flames coming out of your sink. Crazy shit. Now look, so they say, okay, we won't make you do it. But if we give you some money, will you let us do it? Now you got to think of how pathetic anyone is to say, okay, give me $500, $5 million. And then you can spoil all the water in this whole state. They got people that's that dumb to do that shit. Yeah, they do. Let's not be that dumb. Let's look at this situation. Let's study it. Let's understand it. Let's talk to our neighbors and our friends about it. Yes, and we'll get this one to run me up out of here. But look. But above all, no, it's not over. It is not over. It's not over as long as you're breathing, by the way. But it's definitely not over. Their reversal with this other situation proves that they're lying. We can change this at any time. If we have the power, let's work towards that.
Thank you, Gerald. All right. I know that you guys are being really patient, hearing all our stories, you know. So we're going to have three more speakers, and then we're going to tell you how you can help out. And then we'll put on some music and mingle. All right? So next up, we have Linda.
My name is Linda, and pretty much all I can say is that I'm supposed to be here. This is where I'm supposed to be. I have 6 children. I am 43 years old. All of my kids have been through Oakland Unified School District. I have been through it with Oakland Unified School District. I have a 3-year-old right now. I'm scared now. He might not have an elementary school to go to. So, you know, these are issues that people in our neighborhoods deal with every day. This stuff is not just now happening to us. You know what I'm saying? How do we deal with it? We don't do nothing but deal with it. What can we do? We didn't know we had a voice to stand back on. Every day was a battle for me. Just getting my kids to school, taking them to this school, one going to this school, one have to go to this school. This been going on, you guys. Been going on. This has not just started. But I am so proud of everybody out here and myself. But like I said, I'm a mom. This is where I'm supposed to be. If you are a parent, this is where you are supposed to be. And then you gotta ask yourself. I keep asking myself, why? What are they so scared of? What are they so scared of? Why they don't want our kids to learn? What is the threat to them? They are a threat. Our children are a threat. That's why I want us to learn. close all the schools. Maybe our kids are better off being homeschooled. Then they will know the truth. Then they will know the truth. I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I'm feeling. Because, you know, we have to lie to our kids every day and tell them, oh, yeah, you go to school, you go to college, you'll get a good job. That's a lie. That's not guaranteed no more. The American dream is not guaranteed to nobody no more. That's a lie. You need to wake up, people. If you're a parent, you are supposed to be here fighting for your kids. You need to wake up, everybody. And I'll let all of them go. Bye.
Thank you so much. So now we have Alice Bierman. She's a school board member, and she is one of the two school board members that did not vote for the school closure.
Yeah!
Thank you. So here you go.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad you came out. I was one of the school board members that didn't vote for the closure of the school. But I did that really because it was a personal reason, and I said that. Because one of the schools that closed is my school, the school that's half a block from my house, named Thurgood Marshall, the school that I started all this parent advocacy at and became a school board member behind it. Nobody mentions that school. Yes, it's in the hill. It's up 106 on Malcolm. And everybody assumes because it's above 580 that there are a lot of children in there whose parents make a lot of money. That's not the fact. They just have a way to get them up the hill. And it's 99% African American. Nobody is hollering about that. I know Santa Fe, I know Lakeview, but nobody's hollering about my school. So I just wanted to say that. You need to look at who's sitting on your school board. The school board, regardless of the recommendations of the superintendent, who's hired by that board to represent us and institute policies that this district wants to see, community full service school district, you need to look at who's pushing the policies, who's making the rules. I came up like Jerry. I came up in East Oakland, big Panther Party, big revolutionary march, carried a gun, all the rest of that stuff. Can't say that I went to jail in all the protests I did. Went to Yazoo, Mississippi, and was carried out the back of the city in the trunk of a car, so I wouldn't have to go to jail. But when I came up through school, and I went to Castlemont, I went to Lockwood, I went to Frick. My daughters came up, went to the same school, graduated from Castlemont. I now have two granddaughters in Castlemont. Hopefully I'll be able to graduate them next year and the year after.
Yeah.
We were taught, as Gerald can tell you, a lot of us that were in the movement were taught how to affect policy. And the only reason I'm on this school board is to affect policy and try to make a change. I'm not your regular politician. I don't follow the rules. Am I a team player? Probably not. Because there's a lot of things that, a lot of politics that go on I don't agree with. I'll holler about. I've been talked about. I can ask questions. They refuse to answer. All the rest of this. But that's behind your school board. There are four seats up right now. Mine is one. District two. No, District 3, 1, 3, 5, and 7. Jody London's district's up, Jamoke Hodge's district's up, Noel Gaio's running for city council, his seat is open, and District 7. You have a chance to affect how your policy is going to be made. You have a chance to affect, are you going to return the folks that's been listening and not listening to you? Are not considering what you would like to see, or even giving you a good chance of consideration? Or are you going to continue with the okey-doke? That's your decision. That's the decision of the people that live in those districts. I hope those that live in District 7 decide that I need to stay there. I need to also tell you about the state loan. The state administration did run our bill up to $100 million. But the district doesn't decide whether we're going to cut a check to the state or not. When the state sends us our money, they take their money out of our check. We don't even get it. They pay themselves. Just like a lot of financial people will tell you, when you get paid, pay yourself, then pay your bill. They pay themselves. So, the way to get around that is Tondre Swanson, our assembly member, has put in legislation time and time again for the state to forgive the debt. And every time it goes to the education committee, they kill it.
Sit in their office.
So you guys need to get with Assemblyman Swanson, make sure his bill gets through committee, and get in touch with those legislatures in Southern California that keeps killing the bill. Because if we don't get the legislation, this district for the next maybe 25, 30 years will be paying that money back. And it comes out of the proportionment that's supposed to go to our children. So I want you all to stay strong. You make sure the school board is on the 27th. You need to come down and let them know what's going on, what you feel. I don't know if they'll respond to it, but you need to make it known. And you need to not give up. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so you heard her say there are elections coming up next school year. We really need to put some good people in office. There's a lot of people we know, activists in the community that work around education that are running. So please vote for good people. Woo! If you're somebody that votes, because not everybody votes, I understand, vote for good people. All right. So next we have Bob. Thank you.
My name is Bob Mandel. I'm a former adult ed teacher. I was teaching here for 20 some years till they shut us down last June. 25,000 students, most of them parents of kids in the schools, or brothers or sisters or cousins or uncles or aunts. Ellis raises an interesting point, and it's good to have her here today, because to have a school board member finally say, okay, it's time to stop, better late than never. Okay? All right, now, she says the state writes the checks, so we can't demand that they withhold their own money, right? Or that they refuse to pay themselves. We've been saying refuse to pay the debt. We said, and we still do, we said to the board last year, we, the OEA, of which I am now an involuntarily retired member, we said to the board, come with us, not to Sondre Swanson, who was trying but had no power, come with us to Wells Fargo. Come sit in at Wells Fargo. Come turn the spotlight on where the money is in the city. Not a single board member raised a peep. Not a single board member would join us. Nobody. A group of teachers went to jail. We fought in the union unsuccessfully for a strategy that would have been simultaneously a strike and a bank action. What we wanted was to shut down the schools and then march on Wells Fargo. OEA wrote Wells Fargo and said, you got bailed out $50 billion. 1/500 of that debt, of that bailout, is the Oakland School District debt. They ignored us and they ignored us, and then they were finally, after a series of direct actions, they were finally forced to meet with us. And they said, we're not going to bail you out because we're not going to turn a public debt into a private debt. Who caused the debt? They did. And we're not going to bail you out because if we bail you out, every school district in California will be here saying, oh, bail us out too. That's right. That is right. That's right. Now, so we say 18 trillion bucks, that's the government's own audit of how much money it gave the banks. And Jack, who's a specialist in this stuff, points out that in Europe, we are about to enter the next round of taking from working people, trying to crush Greek working class, trying to crush in Spain, where there's been a general strike, trying to crush French workers. What does it mean to me? I was forced into retirement. I know they will be coming after my pension. Yeah. Every one of you who's old enough in this crowd needs to know they will be coming after our pensions. Now, I want to talk about, I was asked to talk about union busting and the OEA. And there are a couple of different ways to approach this. But I want to say, they're going, and when I say union busting, brothers and sisters, I don't say that lightly. Tony Smith, in the last 4 months, has imposed two draconian measures that literally toss union protections out the door. It is a harbinger of what will be happening in the non-negotiations this summer. He made all the high school teachers at Castlemont, Fremont, and McClymonds reapply for their jobs. These are tenured folks with contracts, and those who are lucky enough to get rehired got rehired as temps on one-year contracts. Last week, he turned around and did the same thing in special ed. 16 program, that is one of the most difficult programs around. And they are making the teachers reapply. Now,
you want me to stop?
No, don't stop! Oh,
yeah. Woo!
Going.
I don't want to
stop yet. I want you to know when I will. But there are some things to understand about why the OEA, why they are after our particular union. The strike here, the longest teacher strike in history. Bill, help me, 94 or 96?
96.
Thank you, Craig. 96. Opened the door to class size reduction in K-3 statewide. If you are going to cut costs, you are going to raise class size. This union strike won it statewide. Get rid of the union. What else has this union done? This union did a teach-in for Mumia about the death penalty in 2000 that broke a decade-long blackout in the American press about his false imprisonment, his framer. Get that union. This union went after Wells Fargo last year and said, we know where the bailout money should be going. Get that union. So understand that it will hurt every one of us. It will hurt the children. It will hurt the youth. It will destabilize the schools. And it is purposeful. They will destroy, if we do not resist them, every institution of organized by working people to defend what they have won. And the last thing I will say is, and it matters, we're in an election year. We need a new political party.
Yes!
And if you need any proof, look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin brought us to the brink of a general strike. Barack Obama didn't even go to Wisconsin because his policy is freeze the wages of public workers, race to the top, privatization, charters, and breaking public education. Teachers were one of the central unions in Wisconsin. So these are things we all need to know and think about as we move forward. And we did save 5 of the 7 ECEs 3 years ago, early childhood centers. Let us not give up now.
Yeah.
So this is a long-term sub at Marshall. She's amazing and she wants to talk to you a little bit. And then we're going to have Joelle just for a second, and then we're going to have the parents speak, and then we're going to be done. Okay? We can open up the mic for people to speak if they want, but...
We're having fun.
Hello, I have been a substitute in Oakland School District for 13 years. Marshall, which one schools are closing, is one of my home schools that I'm very attached to. I just want to speak out and let you know how opposed I am to Tony Smith being the superintendent of the Oakland School District, because he is super intent on destroying the Oakland School District. He's basically trying to cram all these students and teachers into portables like a bunch of lab rats. He turns a blind eye and a deaf ear to anything that is not profitable to him. I have a suggestion and a recommendation for all the parents out there, or anybody who knows parents of Oakland students. When school starts in the fall, all these children that were displaced from all these fine schools that were closed, take your children, have a seat in Tony Smith's office, demand some changes, and demand some answers. You parents have to be proactive and save our students. Get rid of Tony Smith. Sit in the office, first day of school. Take your children. Money talks. Every child that sits in there, every seat that is taken by a student, they're getting money for this. If the students are not there, they will not get the money. They will start listening if they're not getting their money. Parents, please go have a sit-in first day of school in Tony Smith's office. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Liz. Okay, so this is our last speaker, Joelle, and then me and Zachiel, his son, will close us out. All right.
So I just want to say thank you to everyone for coming out. This really means a lot to us, to our families, to the teachers here, to the community here. And I just want everyone to hear, I've been saying this is not about Lakeview. We've been hearing about all the facts and what's going on in public education across our nation. So I won't talk about numbers. We know what the facts are. I just want everyone to come a little bit closer. Everybody in the back, can everyone just move up for a second? Everybody back there, Gerald. Everybody move up for a second. I want to do something. I don't want to talk. I want to show you guys something. So I want everybody that's a taxpayer to do me a favor and put your arm up. Okay? And hopefully you have someone close enough to you. And I want you to put that arm around somebody. Find somebody. That's right. I did this on May 1st and I'm going to do it again. Now with the other hand, who are the taxpayers? The people. The people. The people are the taxpayers. Put your hand up. Who's the people? Let me see the people on here. Now put it around that other person or wrap it around again on yourself, okay?
Another person, okay.
These schools, these parks, these libraries belong to us. They belong to the people. And we've forgotten that. How many of you are still scared when you have someone standing so close to you? How many of you are ready to stand up and do something? The reason why I did that is you're not alone. You're not alone, and I'm not alone. I can feel it here today. Stop worrying about what your neighbor's doing, or your friend's doing, or your mom's doing, or your brother's doing. Start worrying about what you're gonna do. I guarantee you, you step up, we will step up together. My mom is 65 years old. She's not political at all. The first march that she ever came to was May 1st, just a few weeks ago. And now she came here on Friday. I didn't even ask her. I didn't even think she would come out. She doesn't camp. But she came here with us. And she camped out with us. And she's going to stay with us. Don't forget how much power the people have. It's been so long. that we've forgotten what it's like to stand up for something. We're not standing up. We're not standing up for ourselves. We're standing up for our children. We're standing up for our future. If we don't stand up for them now, who is going to take care of us? We're not here for Lakeview families. We're not here for just Lazier families or Thurgood Marshall or Santa Fe. We are here for all the families here in Oakland. We're here for all the families in our nation that this is happening to. They're taking away our community and our public education system, and we're here to say no more. No more. We are going to take back our public education system. It belongs to us. Nobody has the power to take that away from us. Nobody does. So don't believe it. And the last thing I want to say is, how is the richest country in the world? Tell the people that we don't have enough money for education. The richest state in our nation is almost dead last in per pupil spending. How is that possible? The money is there. You heard the numbers today. They want to kick out 300 families and move administrators in. So they have money to run the building. Let's not forget that. Let's stand together. Come with us tonight. I'm inviting everyone here right now. Come with us. Spend the night with us. Come with us and form the People's School for Public Education. We are going to open up on Monday our own school. We have volunteers, some of them are here today, teachers from Oakland, teachers from around the Bay Area. We want you to bring your kids. We want you to bring yourself. We want you to bring your families. We want to come together. This is going to be the hub in Oakland. This is going to be the place for public education. So thank you. My son, on his own, wants to say something to all of you. And I want to say thank you once again for coming out. I love and admire each and one of you. And you're all my family. You're all my community. You're all my people. Let's stand up.
Coming out and y'all really nice. Awesome. Okay. I just want to like really shout out the kids that have been staying with us. Last night there were 4 kids that stayed with us and slept on this campus. And they're like the bravest, dopest kids that I have met. They've been making signs, they've been chanting. Like they know what's up about the politics, about the school district, so they can do it. Really? We can do it, honestly. So, yeah, they're really amazing and it gives me some hope. So the last thing that we're going to talk about is how you can help us. So we want you to first and foremost tell your friends, throw it up on Facebook, email people, text people about what's going on here, send out links that you found online about what's going on here. We really need more people to know, more people to be out here. You can find us on Facebook. I think the flyer has our little link to everything. You can get it at the information table over there. We want you to sign up. If you have kids, sign them up for the People's School for Public Education that's gonna be held here. The registration forms are over there. Sign our petition. The link is online at saveoaklandschools.org. So please sign that petition. We want you to, this is a long list, all right? We want you to email, call the school board, especially Tony Smith. You can find his number over there. What we want you to say is, there's a sign up sheet over here that we can get back to people about that. So definitely look at the flyer that has all this information on it. Join our contact list. We have a press conference Monday at 11. We want a lot of people to come out and support that. So come out for that.
What time?
11 a.m. Monday here at Lakeview. You can donate to our wish list, which you can find right over there also. Keep coming out and just come out, support us. We're going to hang out with you. And text 41411 for the Lakeview sit-in. Oh.
I'm sorry, hold on a second.
So, just real quick while she's getting the logistics down, we're going to be having another 2 p.m. rally here tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
I think we're going to be having a 2 p.m. rally every day, so check in with us at Lakeview Sit-In. We also have a Facebook event called the People's School for Public Education. Check it out. We'll be putting updates on Facebook, also on Twitter. But we want to see people out here every 2 o'clock every day. Come out, open mic. We want to hear from the people from this community about what's going on. And furthermore, we want to hear the solutions and what we're going to do to make our public education system better.
Okay, last thing. So we want, if you could get your cell phones out, we want you to text 41411. Text 241411. Lakeview Sit-In. That's what you're going to write in the body of the text.
You do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're going to text the message in the message box, Lakeview Sit-In, one word, no hyphens, one word, Lakeview Sit-In, to the number is 41411. All right? To 41411. Text Lakeview Sit-In, all one word. And so that's for our safety, because we need a text blast system in case...
Two, 411, or no?
Yeah. No two. There's no two in it.
Text. Where are you going to put the phone number? Normally, you put 41411, and then in the message box, you're going to text, just put Lakeview Sit-In, one word. It's a text blast system to protect us. Thank you for asking, dude.
And also, we're trying to set up house sit-ins for this summer and into the fall to organize and talk about how we want to, did I say sit-ins, house meetings? Sorry, I got sit-ins on the brain. House meetings so we can talk to people face-to-face about how we want to organize. That would be great. So if you want to sign up for that, you can sign up for that down at the info table also. So thank you all so much. You guys are awesome.
So for anyone who wants to stay here today, we would really, really love that. You don't have to go home, but we know you've been here for a long time. We really appreciate you listening to what's going on here. We're going to be doing a picket here and, you know, raising public awareness about what's going on in public education. If anybody wants to go to the back and hang out with us, you are more than welcome to do that. So you do not need to go home. You have an open invite right now. I'm inviting you. Please come and join us in the back, in the front, in the picket. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you. Wait, one more.
Oh yeah, and I want to thank all the people from Occupy that have come out to really support us. They've been so amazing. They were out here all night last night picketing. They brought us food. They've been protecting us. Safety brought, made our banners. You guys are amazing. So thank you so much. And also, okay, so the text is Lakeview Sit-In, one word. Okay, 41411. All right, get it right. All right. Okay, so reopen or resign.
Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign. Reopen or resign.
All right, thank you.